It's not a country club. It's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on a scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but we don't drag our women into caves by their hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep them looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Bowtech, Smith & Wesson, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling myth. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out there in your backyard and enjoy some of this unseasonably warm weather that we're having. There is no reason whatsoever for you not to fire up a grill this weekend, smoker or deep fryer. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. We are cooking this weekend, right, brother?
That's right, buddy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is all about water game this weekend, and this water game is not just for fins.
Okay, so you got me thinking now. What do you want to talk about with regard to water games?
Well, just got to look at your show plan, buddy. Yeah, we're going to talk all about anything coming out of the water, throwing it on the grill.
Sounds like a good
thing. Got some good stuff lined up. We've got our good buddy T-Gid will be coming along in the second segment. And I talked a couple weeks ago about the naked oyster in Hyannis, Massachusetts, out on the Cape. And so I called up the owner of that place, and her name is Florence Lowell. And Florence will be joining us in the third segment. But also wanted to hit, since the weather's really breaking, some of these slackers out there are just pulling their grills out because they didn't use them all winter long. So I thought it'd be good to just go over some basics on what to do to get your grill ready. And Jop, you've got a couple charcoal grills. What do you do this time of year to get those things ready for heavy usage?
Well, you know, pull them out of the barn, pull them out of the storage shed, wherever you've got them, and open them up, and let's start taking them apart. And what I mean by that is whether you've got a green egg or a Kamado smoker that's charcoal or all the way right down to your Weber, we'll start with the Weber. And really, you only got two or three pieces there that you've got to pull apart. But what I want to do is I want to take a wire brush to those grates, get all that winter rust off of there. And then when I get down to the kettle part of my Weber grill or my kettle grill, you know what I've found that works best is a shop vac. And I'll take a heavy brush, maybe a nylon brush, not so much metal, but a nylon brush, and I'll fire up that shop vac, and I'll just hit the bottom of that thing with a wire brush, and boy, does that clean that up nice. I'm not a big one to put soaps or any kind of water or anything in that grill, because all that's going to do is leave, especially soaps, it's going to leave some sort of a residue that's going to taste bad on my food the first couple times I cook.
That's right, and if you're using a wire brush, make sure you've cleaned that grate thoroughly when you're done to make sure there's a little inspection done for miscellaneous
point.
Little barbs of the wire coming off your brush, because those kill people every year. And if you're sucking ash out in the spring, that means you didn't do a good job putting it away in the fall.
That's exactly right.
Because there's actually some acids that lie in those ashes, and it might suck up moisture based on where you have it stored, and that increases the potential for rotting out the bottom of that grill that you paid so dearly for.
Very good point, Bob, because if we're going into the Kamado smoker, if you've had that out all year, now you got to be a little bit careful because that thing's been sitting there. It's been cold all year. If it's up to temperature like it is now, then it won't be as brittle. But if you start handling that ceramic when it's cold out, then it becomes brittle. But again, I'm a big advocate of taking this thing apart piece by piece and cleaning all the pieces. And my favorite tool is a shop vac with a charcoal grill, because I don't have to shovel. I don't have the mess.
Well,
it's not on the ground.
And it's been sitting for months, so you know there's no hot ashes in there. You want to be careful never to suck your grill's ashes out with a shop vac if it has been burning in the last couple of days, because garages burn down every year.
They absolutely do.
Because most shop vacs are plastic now.
Right, and think about that, is what you're doing is what makes flame. You've got fuel and air, right? And you're drawing those coals, if they're even remotely warm.
You'll wake them right up.
Yeah, instantly, and you will start a fire.
I'm enjoying this old Siberian from Crankers. What do you think about this seasonal release from Crankers? Old Siberian. It's a nice English ale.
Yep, it was nice his winter beer this year, and we saw him up when we were up at Tip Up Town.
That's right.
They're a long ways from there now. I don't think they got much ice up there.
That was a big fishing weekend too. So it's all about the fish. But I just happened to have a couple of 22s of this sitting in the garage, so I thought I'd bring them in this morning.
I had a couple, but they're gone. They're that good.
Then the other thing is, I'll talk a little bit about a gas grill tune-up. And it, again, if you're the type that doesn't use your grill throughout the snowy months and you're just getting it going, you're going to find maybe a few surprises in that thing when you get it out. So plan on getting some work gloves on because everything's black inside and it's really hard to get off your hands. But pop the grates out, whatever grates are in there. Inspect your shields. You can take your shields off. And inspect your burner tubes because those burner tubes don't last forever. Depending on the grill and the make of the tube, you might see that some of them are rotted away, or you might already know they're rotted away because last fall it was shooting flames out in every direction except where you wanted them.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing with a gas grill that you got to be really smart about is to make sure that you take a peek at the connector tube from your valve to your burner and from your can to your valve because very often, if it's an older grill, they can be rubber, they can be cracked. If it's propane, if it's a propane grill, that's a really dense fuel. And if you got a little crack in that line and you've got fire in your box, you'll have maybe a little stream of propane shooting out. That can ignite real easily, and that's a really hot, dense flame. And I mean, people burn their houses down with rear burners coming on or a rear flame coming out of their grill. So inspecting that burner tube or any of the burner tubes in your grill is a really good idea.
You know, Bob, we've had people talk to us about before is that those little mud wasps or spiders or something will make a nest in the little gas orifice down there and completely plug it up. And they think their tank's empty. They'll run and get a new tank. They hook it up. Nothing changes. That's an area that you want to take a look at, too. Yeah. Where is that on a grill?
Yeah, typically they're spiders, and they pack sand in them. And I think they like the smell of the gas or something. I don't know. But just various, like maybe the tube right when it comes off the orifice inside your burner, there's generally an air shutter there, and that's not such a bad spot. It's very often the tube or the connector where you took your tank off. So, you know, if you store it, if there's no plastic cap left for it, you know, just throw a little piece of duct tape or electrical tape on it when you store it, and that'll keep it clean. Also, if something does get in there like debris, and then you hook up your gas tank to it with the pounds of pressure that are involved there, when you turn that can on, you're going to blow the debris into your valve, and now you've got a problem with your valve. And that gets expensive when you start replacing parts.
Yeah,
like that.
It just all perpetuates itself. So now let's assume you get it clean, but that grate maybe isn't as clean as you'd like it to be. One of the things you can do anytime throughout the year, but I always do it at the beginning of the year, whether it's charcoal or gas, is I'll take that grate, get that fire going really hot, and take that grate and wrap it in tin foil. And for some reason, that'll create a char on that inside that tinfoil wrap. And you let that thing heat for 15, 20 minutes. You take that foil off there. Anything that was left on that grate is going to be like a gray powdery ash. You hit it a couple times with a brush, and you're really going to have a clean grate when you do that. And it allows you to make sure that you got all the funk from the winter off the grill.
Nice. Boy loves his charcoal.
I do, man.
I mean, he loves his tinfoil.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. And aluminum foil also, you can use it to clean your grill, and you can just wad a piece up and rub it along your grates. If you don't have a brush or a stone to clean those grates, just some wadded up tin foil works really good for that too. And, you know, just shutting your lid on your grill, firing it up and letting it get good and hot will cook all the bacteria out of that grill that's been growing for the last several months. You might find mold inside it, like smokers in particular with that heavy patina that's in them. Just get it good and hot, crank that thing up and get it sweating and kill off any bacteria that's in there before you cook with it.
Exactly. Heat it up, let it cool down again, inspect it, and then start cooking with it. It's really, really strong recommendation to just not roll that thing out of the shed and fire it up and put burgers on there for you and mama because you're not going to like the way they taste.
So it's time for a little Snap Fitness Minute here. Snap Fitness, a good sponsor for the Grilling Guys. There's gyms throughout Michigan, actually throughout the United States. When you get a membership at Snap, you get a really cool little card on a lanyard. You just wave it at the door 24/7. You can go in and work out. I was in there this morning working out, just really, really grunting it, and the place was already filling up with people. So great place to get in shape. But one of the Snap Fitness suggestions is never take an elevator when you can avoid it. Always take the stairs. And I do this when I travel. I'm usually dragging bags and whatnot, and I'm going through O'Hare or whatever. There's escalators and all this stuff, and I just take the steps. So burn off those calories. You can have another burger.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking with our friend T. Gidd. It's been a while since Lafayette, Louisiana man has been on the show, and we're looking forward to it. Going to talk a little shellfish. Stick with us. We'll be back.
She's looking mighty fine. Here comes Hot Nancy. She's stepping right on time. Here goes the streetlight.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop. Where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link, and they're available in 12 and 4-packs.
Now, that's a game winner, baby.
You bet.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With 3 locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Crankers, yeah!
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I hope you're getting out today and enjoying some of this unseasonably warm weather that we're having here in Michigan. This is unbelievable. Bob, I got plants coming up in my gardens. It's amazing. I mean, crap, it's middle of March. We usually don't plant stuff up here until after Memorial Day. I mean, it's crazy how warm it is right now.
I love it. I'm wearing shorts, man.
Yeah.
Perfect. So tired of blue jeans. But I'm not tired of fish. I'm just really getting into the fish mode these days. And I thought a little freshwater fish on the grill would be good. And when I get stuck, I just pick up the phone and I start calling my buddies, and one of them is down in Lafayette, Louisiana, and his name is T. Gid on the grilling line right now.
Hey, bonsoir, monsieur.
How are you, pal?
Man, if I'd be doing any better, somebody would want to tax it. I don't know, man. It's just good.
Well, we just want to talk a little bit about some freshwater grilling. And when you and I were talking the other day, you were talking about how you like to grill bass. And I kind of cringed because I always throw bass back. I don't even try and fish for bass. So tell me where I'm wrong.
Man, I tell you what, it's the other white meat. I mean, it's delicious. I can't imagine. Anyway, when you throw them back, throw them my way, you know, because we have a little beautiful fishing spot that was rated the best fishing lake in the nation as Bassmasters rated it number one in the country, and it's called Toledo Bend. And we have a little place up there, and we love to go fishing, whether it's brim or sockeye, which you people call crappies. And then bass, the beautiful largemouth bass. And, you know, when we catch a slew of them, you know, we fillet them, and some people fry them, which, you know, everything fried is good, I guess, you know. But if you want to change it up, man, you can throw a little Cajun spice on there, and, you know, you can pan sear it in a black iron skillet on the grill, get the pan real hot, or you can put it on the grill and kind of broil it or bake it, you know, in some aluminum foil with a little sliced julienne onions and bell pepper, a little garlic, and it's just... it's delicious. I think people have a tendency to overcook fish. You know, you get the meat temperature up to about 165, 170, which does not take long at all, and serve it piping hot. And I guarantee you, you're going to be coming back for more.
Wow, that sounds excellent.
Sure does. Gid, hey, man, how you been? It's been a long winter. We're just getting a little break from it up here. You all right?
Oh, no, man, the spring has sprung down in southern Louisiana. You know, I had some medical issues last year, but God was good, man. You know, we got all that taken care of, and we're just blowing and going, you know. Hey, Bob, check this out. We didn't talk about this, but this is something we did here recently, a partner of mine. Y'all got blue point crabs up on the East Coast, right? I mean, those beautiful blue point crabs.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Are you familiar with that?
Okay, yes.
Well, most people do what with that? They boil them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, well, try this. Next time, we'll get you a couple dozen fresh blue point crabs and put them upside down whole. You know, you want to get them cold so they're not moving because, you know, you don't want, you know, the pita people to be coming chasing you. But you just put them on the grill.
See a burning crab running through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure my hound's going to look at that a little sideways when those goes crawling.
Look like a Schwarzenegger movie going on. Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. But what we did is we just put them upside down on the grill, probably about a dozen or so at a time, and you mix your little wine and butter sauce and the garlic and a little lemon juice, salt and pepper, and you saute that down on the grill, and you just kind of spoon it over the crab, and I don't know how, but it gets into the meat somehow, and you just bake them until, you know, you pull the leg off and the meat comes out freely. Dude, I know we're talking about fish, but this is a seafood, just kind of like a fish, but unbelievable.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's a fish with a shell, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. I tell you, I'll never eat ball. My wife is a crab freak. When I tell you she'll sit down for 3 hours and not get up eating ball crabs, I brought her some of these home. She said, don't ever ball crabs again. Put them on the grill.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great tip. So you were talking about shellfish on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite?
My favorite shellfish?
Yeah.
Well, what do y'all call them? Y'all call them what, crayfish or crawdads?
Yeah, okay.
No, but you were talking about taking a fish with scales and cutting it in half, and you call it shellfish on the grill.
Yeah. No, we call that redfish on the half shell. You know?
Oh, okay.
But you were close. I give you points. So that's a C plus.
My memory's pretty crabby.
No, you basically take any kind of fish that has a pretty rigid scale. You know, I guess you could use a red snapper. You could definitely use we call them redfish down here. It's kind of like in the carp family, but it's delicious. And you basically don't fillet. You just come behind the gill plate and you just fillet it down, or you just pass your electric knife down the backbone, but keep going through the tail and leave the scales on it. And then you take that, the whole piece with the scales, and you season the meat side, a little lemon, a little butter, little seasoning, and you just put it on the grill, shell side down or the scale side down, And what's going to happen is that shell, the scale side, is going to turn into a shell. It's going to harden. It's going to start curving up, become hard and rigid. And all that moisture from the meat stays in the meat. You're not losing on the backside. And then when you go to serve it, you basically serve it the whole side of the fish on the plate, and you just eat it off the shell. We call that red fish on the half shell.
Nice. Wow, so do you throw cool. do you throw a little dill and lemon on there or something like that on top while you're grilling it?
Yeah, I mean, I like using. They have a lot of good national brands, but I use kind of like it's a Greek seasoning blend. It has a lot of herbs and stuff, and then I kind of doctor it up like we all do. You know, you kind of just do it yourself. But I add a little bit of fresh dill weed in there, and then I add some butt rub or a little bit of a little bit more cayenne because I like it a little bit hotter than most people. And then and you just kind of grind it up real good. And I mean, you cake it on. You don't lightly sprinkle it. This is something that you can cake it on because it's just on the outside. It really doesn't get into the meat. That way, when you bite into it, you got an explosion in your mouth.
Makes a pretty cool presentation.
Oh, it's absolutely, especially on blackened fish. I mean, you get that skillet hot, you put that coating on both sides, and you pan sear it with fresh butter, not margarine, just real butter. Put it in there and just blacken on one side, flip it over. I mean, it's 2 minutes on both sides, and then it's turn it down on low or put it off the fire, and then just kind of wait about another 2 minutes or so. That's the crunch, the flavor, and the texture is just unbelievable.
Mm. Man, you're making my mouth water. Hey, tell us one thing about your shellfish, your crawdads. Okay, we don't get a lot of them up here, but our markets carry them, and I'm pretty sure that you've got a secret or two that our listeners would like to know about that.
Well, you know, I mean, just like anything, I'm always learning. It's just like barbecuing. You know, you talk to somebody who, you know, you think just when you know it all, you talk to somebody, it's like, man, that's what you do. I was talking to a friend of mine. I mean, there's different seasonals that you can put in the water. Some people season the water. Some people season them after they boil them. They boil them in fresh water. But one of the things I heard that was just absolutely, it sounded perfect, was putting a stick of butter in there. Because just like when you boil in pasta or whatever, it kind of just gives it a little bit more lubrication, a little bit more flavor. But we use a lot of lemon. We use a lot of seasoning. You know, there's nothing worse than eating a bland
awesome.
Ball crawfish.
That's awesome. Dude, we're out of time. I got one thing to say to you, pal.
Yeah, talk to me.
Laissez les bon temps rouler.
Oh, you almost had it.
I'm working on it.
I love your effort.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, well, we love you too, man.
T-Gid, take care of yourself, brother. We'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, God bless y'all, and y'all have a good time doing it, brother.
All right, buddy. Coming up next, we're going to touch a naked oyster. Stick with us. We'll be back.
So take another tug. Have a blow for your nose. One more drink, fool, would drown you.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery pub and kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. You've got to get out and enjoy this wonderful weather. Mother Nature is blessing us here in Michigan right now. It is unbelievably warm for this time of year, and that means it's time to get out and fire up your grill. A couple weeks ago, Barbecue Bob was on sabbatical out doing a little research and some hot tub work on the East Coast, and you were out there in Massachusetts.
That's right. I was out on the Cape in a very beautiful resort town called Hyannis, and everybody's heard of Hyannis and Hyannis Port. It's quintessential New England. It's just a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. And I was I got into Hyannis a little late. I went and checked in at the Hojo at the Holiday Inn, I mean. And I started looking around for a restaurant, and I went downtown Hyannis. And it's this cool little district of restaurants. Well, it was off-season, so there weren't a bunch of them open. But I saw this one all lit up, and it said The Naked Oyster, and I looked inside, and it looked just stellar. And I said, with a name like that, I have to go inside there.
Absolutely.
And boy, was I happy. So the owner is on the live line, the grilling line right now, and her name is Florence Lowell. Welcome to the Grilling Guys, Florence.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you know so much about serving seafood that I thought we'd get it right from an expert.
All right.
Let's talk about your swordfish, because I posted that on our Facebook page, and I mean, I sent it to friends. I was having I was making all kinds of noises at the bar as I ate that beautiful piece of swordfish. But tell our listeners a few secrets to grilling a nice piece of fresh fish like that.
All right. Well, we have, we get some beautiful, fresh swordfish to start with. This is, of course, the number one secret.
Right.
And then we have a charcoal broiler, which is about 500 degree, and with hot spot and high spot, of course, on the grill. So we just start with putting some grapeseed oil on the fish, both sides, salt and pepper, and nothing else. And we place it on the hot part of the grill about 2 minutes. Per side, and we do grill marks, and then we move it to the cooler side of the grill, which is going to be, I would say, about 375, 400 to degree, and it's going to stay there for 5 minutes, just depending on the side, and then we pull it out, we let it rest, which make it for nice and moist fish, and we serve it.
So a little background on Florence. She was actually born in France, and
couldn't tell
a lot of her her cooking experience, and of course recipes are probably family's secrets and passed down through the generations. But you're definitely a natural. And what now? That swordfish I had was probably an inch thick steak. It was gorgeous. What would it be a good internal temperature for a piece like that to be safe?
All right, so. Internal temperature, you would have to, We don't do it.
You don't measure them that way. Okay.
135.
Okay, that's probably about what I would have guessed that piece was at.
Yeah, I would say 135.
Okay.
You know, people, if you have, you know, if people are like sensitive or need, you know, to have something fully cooked, they need to bring it to 145. But 135, you're guaranteed to have something moist.
Okay, and then you put something called a caponade on there.
Yeah.
Made with capers. Can you tell us how to make that?
All right. So that's that really is a recipe of the south, you know, the Mediterranean side of France and the Languedoc. And so what it is you can start with some yellow onion chopped up, and you can saute them in olive oil, a little bit of celery, and then you add some tomatoes. I add some, and then you kind of let it stew for a little bit. I would say 7-8 minutes, and then you're gonna add some green olives. I use the Sicilian green olives at the restaurant. They have a little more texture and a little more. They're firm and they have a little more flavor. And then a cup of sherry wine vinegar. A half cup of a wine vinegar, some golden raisin, capers.
You just went sweet on me. I was going all down the vegetable line.
No.
You just went sweet. That's got to be wonderful.
Yeah, and to smooth the whole thing, I add a little chocolate. So that's the base of the caponata. And then you can, if you want to, you can introduce some vegetable like diced eggplant, or zucchini.
Yeah, I'm sure that those first nine ingredients weren't enough, so you got to, you know, just top it off with some eggplant or zucchini to just put it over the top.
And then you get the whole thing. And so what you're looking for is that real sweet and sour.
Wow, that's got to sound good. And on that big steaky piece of fish.
Right. Yeah, and then they put it in like a pastry bag or whatever and kind of squeezed it out into a nice little swirl over your plate so you had a little bit to dip in and... Oh, I'll repost that picture on the Grilling Guys Facebook page because I was just, I had fresh oysters before that came.
Oh, good.
And they were so phenomenal. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And we are talking live right now with a lady named Florence Lowell, who owns the Naked Oyster in Hyannis, Massachusetts. And we're just talking about a caponade, which is like a tapenade, but it's with capers. And so I just can't tell you how nice the experience was at your bar. You had a phenomenal local brewery there with a stout that just absolutely lit me up while I waited for my oysters to arrive. And I can't tell you how nice it is to go into a restaurant where they have everything going for them.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks.
So, Florence, if you had a tip on fresh seafood, specifically the shellfish, the oysters, if I were to go to a market, now we're inland, right? We got fresh water here. But if I went to the market and I picked up some fresh oysters, is there a tip or two that you could give our listeners with regard to handling those and preparing them to eat?
All right. So if you're inland, more than likely they have traveled for a while, and they are,
on ice.
Yes.
Not as fresh.
Hopefully they've been on ice, and they've been properly kept. You know, you can open them, and you can, once you open them, you can look. You know, are they plump? Do they have a nice amount of juice in them? In that case, usually, you know, they will be fine to eat raw. If they look dried out, I would not use them. I would discard them. You know, if you have any thought that they've been out of the water for a long time, I would definitely bake them. And you can use, you know, spinach. You can use pasties. You can use leeks. Sweet vermouth works. You know, all kind of stuff. Go mushroom and shrimp together.
Okay, just one last thing here. What people should know about the Naked Oyster and Florence here is she actually has her very own oyster farm. So if you want good oysters, you go to the lady that has an oyster farm. And tell us quickly, we've got 1 minute left, how you farm oysters.
We have an oyster bed, a 2-acre oyster bed in Barnstable Harbor. And basically, it's an intertidal farm, which means that during low tide, the oyster are sitting on the sandbar, and at high tide, there is about 12 foot of water. Above it, we access it by boat, and we just go like 3-4 times a week and sort oyster, shake them, make sure they are, you know, that the proper density, and then we bring them to the restaurant and we serve them that day.
All right, I'm going to be back out in a month or two, and I cannot wait to try some more of your food, but maybe I can talk you into taking me out picking oysters.
Yeah, we're going out all the time, so yes, we'll take you on the boat.
All right, Florence Lowell, thanks so much from the Naked Oyster, Hyannis, Massachusetts. You're a doll. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow, pretty cool, Bob. Coming up next, we're going to help you tune up your equipment. Spring is almost here. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Bob, I don't know how you found a lady that has her own oyster farm, but I'm going to tell you that's one of the coolest things I think you could do is farm something out of the ocean. And I don't even know how you guard your farm to make sure some other dude in a boat doesn't come steal your stuff. But there's got to be a way. Maybe it's honor among farmers.
Who knows? That fisherman community out there, they all know each other. and they all know where the other ones fish, and they know when they're going out and coming in, and they work as a team. So I don't think that's probably the biggest problem. I think somebody from out of town like me who had a boat who might just wander up, you know, would be a bigger danger than the locals.
We were talking about it on break. It's like she said she went out in a boat and got them, but then she said when the tide went down, the sandbars exposed. I think I'd just hop out of the boat, walk over there, pick my oysters.
That's what they do.
And then get back in the boat when the water goes up. You're going to be out there a while because what's that, every 12 hours? Tide changes, so you probably they might have some drinking involved too. That's my kind of place. I might have to go become an oyster farmer. I don't know. This kind of sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's.
But anyway,
that's in your future. I'm pretty sure.
Right up there, things I'm going to be doing. But anyway, spring is here. I don't think so yet. It's the middle of March, but boy, it sure feels like it with this warm weather. So we've been diving into tuning up your equipment. We covered in the first segment the gas grills and the charcoal grills, but you know, we get asked a lot of times, what about natural gas versus LP gas? You got some thoughts on that?
I think if you can, well, first of all, let's say what do you have at your house, natural or LP?
Right.
That's going to have a lot to do with it. If you have natural gas, do I think you should run a gas line to your grill? Absolutely. Because you can get a plumber to run a line, or you can run a line yourself for $100 or $200, if depending on how close it is. Some jobs are harder and more extreme, but typically there's a way to do it. And then you never run out of gas. You know how frustrating it is when you're grilling and you don't have a spare tank and you thought it was full, but it's pinned to the cabinet of your grill and it looked full, but it's not.
Right.
And bang, she's out.
Nothing worse than running out of gas when you're cooking on for a bunch of people. But you know, the other thing with that is that you really need to have your grill set up for natural gas or LP gas. There is a difference in the orifice, I believe is the proper term. Is that,
yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is that you need to have it set for one or the other. Is it due to the pressure or the actual like weight of the gas itself?
Well, it has to do with the density of the fuel. Propane is very dense. It has to have a lot more oxygen to burn because it's a very dense fuel. It's a byproduct of natural gas and oil refining and things like that. But to get it, you know, compressed and condensed into a can shipped, you know, you wouldn't want it to be a heavily expanded gas. You'd want it to be a condensed gas. So that's what it is. So your orifice is going to be smaller, the orifice being the little hole at the end of the
valve
on your grill. You know, everybody's seen an orifice.
Easy, brother.
Yep. And then that goes into your burner tube, and on the end of your burner tube, there's generally something that has a screw on it that slides with holes in it, and that's called your air shutter. So for LP gas, your air shutter is going to be in one position. For natural gas, it's going to be in another position. Natural gas is a much less condensed gas, lower BTU per volume, much cheaper to purchase, by the way. So if it does cost you money to run a line out to your grill, you'll get it back over the years. But natural gas is fairly safe to work with yourself too. It's just, you know, people always freak out about natural gas, but when you're talking about outside with a grill, it's such an expanded fuel that your chance of an explosion or your danger of any kind of a big explosion are much lower than with propane. Propane will create a bomb, okay? Propane will mess you up.
Right.
Natural gas.
This is the point of the show where the lawyers walk in and say, we are not providing advice on how to run gas lines
to
your grill.
That's okay. You do it yourself, and God bless you if you screw up. But with natural gas, it's really, you know, it's good to be cautious, but it's just not nearly as risky as propane. Now, the real nice part is just never having to go and take your tanks in and get them filled.
Right. Now, does natural gas burn hotter or cooler than propane?
Cooler.
Right.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's not
so
as
you're
dense.
gonna find it that
it's going to have a bigger orifice to get the same BTUs. You're going to throw more fuel at it, and you're gonna actually have to adjust your air shutter because the gas to air ratio is different too.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you have propane at your house. Do you then bother running propane to it? Oh, yeah. Because, again, you're still not going to get those tanks refilled. And you're going to buy your propane at $1.59 a gallon. You're only going to throw, like, what, 6 gallons, 5 gallons in a 20-pound tank, something like that. So you're going to have $10 into it. If you go into the store, you're going to spend $20 or $25.
Right.
So it's still at least half the price, and you're burning propane. But now it's coming off your big bulk tank instead of, you know, throwing the cans in the car and running down to the hardware store.
Yeah, and of course, all of this assumes that you grill in the same place. You're not rolling a grill into the to the garage at the end of the cook and then bringing it back out. What we're talking about
in which
here
case, yeah, you're right, stuck with propane.
You're stuck with the
tanks.
No,
not necessarily. Not necessarily, because in that case, if you have a place that you always like to roll your grill to, you can still have your plumber run a gas line there, and there are these quick connect hoses that they make. Any good grill store will sell them. They're gray tube, and they've got the quick connects like your compressor hose has, and that's on the back of your grill, and you just plug it into your house or the outlet next to your house where the gas comes out, turn the valve on, bang. That's a beautiful scenario too, even if you want to keep it mobile. You can have your plumber put a couple different locations in for that.
Yeah, the tech grills that you have on your back deck are like that they've got that quick connect fitting on the back of them, yet the one of your techs stays where it is all the time. The other ones are portable.
I hard-piped one. Yep.
Right, yep. So, but kind of cool. Just, again, a little tip, if you can take a little bit of time and energy to do that, you're going to find it's a lot more convenient. You never worry about when people are over turning that gas on and it flutters a little bit. The other thing I want to touch on, Bob, is because when people are moving these things out of their sheds or their garages and they maybe jostle it a little bit, sometimes when you turn that tank on, you're going to get there's a safety feature on a tank, right?
Yep.
Explain that.
And that's not even always from jostling it, but that brings up another good point of the jostle, Joppy. When you do that, moving, banging your grill around with those little plastic tires, sometimes you'll actually kind of make that burner inside jump. And the burner is very often just sitting on a couple pegs. So it can jump and pull those burner tubes right out of the orifice. So you really want to, after you've moved your grill, you really want to take a peek at that. That's a really good point you accidentally brought up there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the one I brought up. And the one I brought up was with regard, because it's happened to all of us, in the gas tank where you turn it on and you can't get any heat and you can't get any kind of substantial flame out of your grill. And it's like, what's going on?
If it senses that there's too much gas flowing too quickly, it means you probably left your burner control on your grill. So when you're opening up your valve on your tank, it gets a rush of gas instead of just pressurizing the line. It's pressurizing the line and flowing to the burner. And the safety valve is there to keep you looking like a real man.
Time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. If you've known a guy for more than 24 hours, his sister's off limits forever, unless you actually marry her.
Dude, well, how are you going to marry her right out of the box? You got to spend a little bit of time with her, and then what, do you get permission from him? I guess that's probably
I didn't write the law, dude. I'm just reading it.
Oh, all right.
But speaking of law, we got a law. We got this Uniform Code of Military Justice. And we want to help keep that thing intact, so we want to make sure that our troops get some barbecue. And Operation GI Barbecue is at gibbq.com. We're just about wrapped up with this year's event, and we're only waiting on one last little auction. And we're really lagging and getting that together because we can't find a location. So if you have a good location idea for an auction for our Henry rifles and all this stuff, get a hold of us at gibbq.com or thegrillingguys.com.
Hey, thanks for listening this week. Get out and enjoy this unseasonably warm weather. Fire up a grill and make it a great weekend. We'll talk with you next week.